My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. Mobile apps I use on Safari. Hello everybody, I hope it's going well. Thank you for joining me for another episode. It's Tuesday today, and in the Wild Eye office I have another 4 weeks or so before I travel again. A private trip up that takes me to the Netherlands, Turkey, and then to South Africa for a safari. Very nice, diverse trip coming up. And yeah, a couple of things I wanted to touch on. I'm going to talk about some of the apps, mobile apps that I use on Safari and for travels. And I think you might be able to find value from them. When I was in Svalbard a couple of months ago, is it months ago already? Yeah, October, August, 2 months ago. We had a lot of discussions around photography on the iPhone, what's possible, apps to use. So I want to share some of the apps that I use and have used for a very long time. But just as a bit of a sidetrack first, I had a conversation with a client this morning around wildlife photography, making a business from it, being better at it, growing at it, and the industry as such. And it left a lot of food for thought. But I then, when I got to the office, I normally have a coffee, I scroll a bit, just check things, check email. And it's a very strange space. And I don't know if it's because my phone listened to me, because I know Elon and Mark Zuckerberg all listen to us while we talk on our phones, right? Isn't it? But when I then open Instagram, I got all these, and I see them a lot, more and more, people who I've never heard of, wildlife photographers, never heard of, but they have like 300,000-400,000 followers. Every post of theirs gets like 2,000-4,000 likes, 50,000 shares, not even joking. And then you look at the content, it's very average, right? And there's a couple of trends that I think people are using in order to get that kind of attention. There seems to be a thing going around where it's good-looking girls with a big camera, and it always starts on them with showing a lot of them, and then it goes into these are the images I've taken. And you're like, what are we doing? There's also the one where it's like what I see, and it's like a big scene, and then a little square that pulls in what my camera sees. Nice, clever. Right? There's the trend where you hold a big lens, you point it at the camera, you zoom into the front of the lens, and it shows you your best images and stuff. And from a reality point of view, are those the best wildlife photographers and images? No. Are they playing the algorithm game and giving the algorithm what it wants in order to get a following? Yes. Are they getting a following as content creators in the wildlife photography space? Sure. Are they great wildlife photographers and educators? No. And I think for someone coming up into the industry, wanting to create something, wanting to do something with it, I think it can be quite a challenge. Where do you start? Do you have to do those things? Seems like it, because the algorithm awards it. And I guess, is there still a space for just sharing wildlife images on its own? Can you build a brand like that? Because sharing just images isn't building a brand, it's sharing images. The brand might be if you have a certain type of style, that could maybe be it, but it has to be very strong. But it's about the photographer, it's the brand behind it. Anyway, that was just kind of a mind dump for me. I think we'll explore that more in an upcoming episode, but it's a very interesting space. Is there room for people to move into the wildlife photography space and make a living? I do think so, but not only through wildlife images as such. I think it's around industries connected to it. But anyway, that is just some thoughts I had in my mind from early this morning with a conversation with the client. What I wanted to look at for this episode is I travel a lot, right? And I said to many people over the last few trips, I don't know how we would do this without a mobile device, iPhone. So I'm currently in the iPhone 17 Pro Max. Love the camera. The new 8x zoom is actually quite ridiculous and amazing. But the device is more than that. So I want to share 15 apps that I have on my phone that have brought me a lot of value when I travel. And it's not all photography. So let's kick in with trip planning, right? For me, I use TripIt Pro. Now, TripIt organizes all your travel bookings in one place. It's flights, hotels, car rentals, if that's your thing. You just forward your confirmations into an email address and it handles the rest. So I only use it for my flights. You log all your flights and then it sends you updates on which carousel your luggage is going to be, any delays, this, that, the other. So TripIt I've been using for many, many years. And if you're looking for a very cool visual interface to track your flights, changes and stuff, highly recommended. Then another one, which from a travel point of view, is Airalo, A-I-R-A-L-O. This is an eSIM provider for data abroad. You can buy local data plans without swapping physical SIMs and cards. It's all eSIM based. And the nice thing here is you can buy, for example, 10 gigs of data if you're in Germany, and it won't throttle you on speed. In the past, I used no roaming. I've used about four or five of these things. And they would say you got maximum speed, but after the first gig, they throttle you basically to old dial-up modem speed, which is not ideal. So Airalo for me is amazing. I have already, as I sit here, bought my SIM cards for the Netherlands, for Turkey, and I have a Norwegian one, which is still active from Svalbard recently. Oh, and Brazil. And you can just go in and switch it on and off. Remarkably effective and just super easy to use. Now, there's a new one which Debbie, one of my clients on Svalbard, showed me and us on the trip. It's called Polar Steps. It's a free app. And this thing is phenomenal, right? It's a travel journal that maps your journey and lets you drop photos and notes as you move. So it basically creates a track of your entire trip, and it's like a visual record of where you've been. So what you do is when you leave home, you just start this thing, close the app, it runs in the background, and it tracks your flights, your boat rides, for me in the Pantanal, your vehicle rides, everything. And you can then afterwards go and per day upload either iPhone images or phone images, and it creates this beautiful visual representation of your trip. People can follow along, so you can send it to people at home and they can follow your trip. So I'm just starting to play with it, but I can see it's going to be very valuable. So under trip planning for me, I've got TripIt Pro, I've got Polar Steps and Airalo. There's more, but these are the main ones, right? Now, under photo and video apps. So these are the ones that I use pretty much all the time. So Lightroom Mobile, it's obviously for editing images on your phone. And you can sync all of your edits across devices if you're using Lightroom elsewhere. Now, the amount of Lightroom I've done on my phone the last few months is ridiculous. It is so good. Masking, sharpening, everything is in there. Great user interface and highly recommended for on the fly, both if you shoot on your iPhone and if you shoot on your camera and you download onto your phone through whatever app the camera uses and then punch it into Lightroom. Very handy. Now, one for me that comes very close, and I've recommended this to many people over the last few months, is Snapseed, right? It's a quick photo editor. It's better for kind of single shot tweaks than batch editing in Lightroom, where you can work a lot of images kind of at the same time. But Snapseed is very much like NicFilters. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think way back, Snapseed came from NicFilters with the same developers. I'm not sure if it's still the case, but it is very, very, very good. You can make an image pop in one or two clicks. It's got beautiful kind of, not presets, I think they call it looks, which is like HDR, glow, dramatic, vintage, noir, whatever. And you can customize everything. So for me, if you're a more serious photographer, use Lightroom as well. And if you are someone who's just wanting to punch quickly, use Snapseed. It is so good, so good. Right, for video editing, what I've been using over the last few years is CapCut, which was very good. But then they started bringing in all the paid things. You can't use this transition, that transition. I then, for a very small while, used Edits, which is Instagram's version of CapCut. It's basically the same thing. But more recently, I think it's just when I came back from Svalbard, they launched Premiere for the iPhone. So the Premiere Pro is Adobe's big daddy, big boy of video editing on the desktop. It now has a phone app called Premiere. I jumped on it immediately. It's everything I need. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's amazing. Recommended for any video clips, even if it's just for little reels and stories. Highly recommended. Very user intuitive, and the quality is amazing. Now, I also am not going to include in this the native camera app for the iPhone that I use a lot, right? Or the Photos app editing in iPhone native. The one thing that in the photo app I find insanely good is the cleanup tool where you can remove things. To me, in some instances, it knocks the shit out of Lightroom and Photoshop with removing things. But for a quick edit here and there, it's handy. I would still default though to Snapseed and Lightroom. But the three other photo apps that I have on my phone that I use a lot is Halide, HALIDE, which is a manual camera app. You take on full control over your exposure, focus, ISO, and it shoots zero rated files. So there's no AI or no processing added by the phone. So HALIDE is my go-to pro camera app, if you will. I've also recently started playing with Project Indigo, which is Adobe's rather new RAW camera app. You can shoot and edit in real time before you get to Lightroom. So interesting app, playing with it. It's just been updated, I know, for iOS 26, the latest version. So also want to check out. And then my go-to for the longest time on slow exposures is Spectre. S-P-E-C-T-R-E. It's a long exposure app for motion blur and light trails without needing a tripod. Phenomenal. I mean, the amount of slow motion blurs, intentional camera movement, panning you can do on Spectre is amazing. Simple user interface, click and shoot. You just have a little square icon with a phone, and the phone kind of vibrates as you move the app or the cat or the phone, and you just have to keep it in the little block and it'll work from there. So for me, my photo and video apps that I would recommend you kind of look at is Lightroom Mobile, it's Snapseed, Premiere for the iPhone, Project Indigo, the Adobe RAW camera app, HALIDE, which is my main go-to, and Spectre. Very, very handy. Then under kind of wildlife and nature and knowledge, there's a couple here that I use often, and it depends on where I go, right? Now, I haven't included some of the Northern Lights and Aurora apps that I use. There's a couple of very good ones. They are, however, always a bit delayed because the information that gets fed into these apps to determine auroras, the geomagnetic energy, comes from a database. I link straight to that database. I was lucky to get in. So I've got a database link that can operate in Northern Norway, Iceland, and so on. And you go straight to, and it's in real time. So I use that. So I'm not going to include any Northern Lights or Aurora apps in here. But the sky apps that I do use, I've got two. I've got Starwalk 2 and I've got Sky View. Now, they're both amazing. So Starwalk 2 is probably my go-to. It's an AR app, identify constellations, planets, and satellite. You basically pick it up and it has overlaid from your position all the constellations, the stars. You can click on something, it gives you the information. And I find it very handy, like around campfires, when we're out in the middle of nowhere to look at the stars and to kind of teach and guide people on it. Sky View is a very similar app, but a different user interface. I jump between them. The one has, and I should know this, I think it's Starwalk, has a very cool app where you can take a picture with the stars and the constellation overlaid on it. So it's almost like a picture that shows the campfire and in the star the constellations. So those two for me, very nice to play with, always updated on my phone. And then the last four I have here is under wildlife and bird ID. So my main birding app in Southern Africa is Roberts, and it has a little bit of sub-Saharan Africa on, but it's better for me in South Africa. In East Africa, there is one called East African Bird, which is a regional bird guide. So those two bird guides are my go-to. Outside of Africa, I use Merlin. Now, Merlin hasn't been updated in Africa. I don't know if we have too many birds or they just haven't been here. But in places like Borneo, Iceland, Norway, Svalbard, where was I recently? Pantanal. Merlin is amazing, right? Identifying a bird call by recording a sound or by taking a picture, uploading it onto the app, it gives you the app. Very, very handy though, too. So, sorry, three. Merlin, Roberts, and East Africa Birds. And then the last one that I have, which is kind of a fun thing to have, especially if you're traveling to a new destination, is Seek by iNaturalist. So it's an AI identification of anything you photograph, birds, plants, insects, fungi, and you're basically contributing to a global database. So you're helping science. But what it does is, let's say you're on a walk in the Great Barrier Rainforest and you take a picture of a plant. It will identify the family of plant. If it can, it'll go deeper all the way to the actual species. So I've tried this in Africa. I've tried it in the Pantanal recently. It's pretty good. I've taken pictures of elephants and of different deer and antelopes and stuff, and it IDs that for you. So it's called Seek by iNaturalist. So quick rundown from the top. These are my 15 apps that I always have. There's others, but I think these ones, if you're looking to start somewhere, and I've got them in little folders on my phone. So under trip planning, it's TripIt Pro, it's Polar Steps and Airalo, the eSIM provider. Under photo and video, I use Lightroom Mobile, Snapseed, Premiere iPhone, which is Premiere Pro, Project Indigo, the Adobe app, HALIDE camera app, and Spectre for long exposures. Under wildlife and bird ID, it's Merlin, it's Roberts, and it's East Africa Bird Guide. also Seek by iNaturalist. And then the other two, the stars, is Star Walk and Sky View. Now, if you use these, they will add massive value, I truly believe, to your trips, expeditions, photo safaris, travels, wherever you go. Like I said, I've got many others. And I'm always on the lookout. It's a fun thing. I think the phone for me has brought so much to the game that, again, I don't know how we do it without. When I'm on a trip, most of the time, these days, I'm not taking a super wide angle anymore. I'm literally using my iPhone. So like I said, I'm currently on the 17 Pro Max. The camera is phenomenal. You can shoot DNG. And if you do go into halide, you can shoot a zero rated RAW file. So there's absolutely no influence from the phone on that RAW file. Works very well in Lightroom. But the idea of shooting on the fly, posting on the fly, editing on the fly is absolutely amazing. And I've had instances where in Iceland and Greenland, I shot many scenes more with my phone than I did with my cameras. It's great. It really is. To the point where I have an extra Instagram account called Jerry's iPhone, G-E-R-R-Y-S iPhone, or one word, where I just post iPhone pictures from daily life, from travels, and so on and so forth. It's a cool thing to do. Keeps the photographic voice keen and engaged. But yeah, I hope there's some value in there for you. If you have any questions or you want to share more, maybe it'll happen in due course. But yeah, go and check those out. If you enjoy them, let me know. If you find better ones, I'd love to hear from you as well. And we'll chat more in the next episode. Have a good one. Thank you for lending me your ears. Thank you for your time. I'll chat to you in the next episode. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.